Blog Talk Radio.
Come here.
You don't want me to come over there.
Come here.
What?
You know what? Just listen.
I'm watching you, watching me. I'm close enough to touch us. I know you like this part, it's hard for me.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones, and I'm believing that my co-host, Martin C., will still be out. I understand that he's really under the weather, not sure exactly what's going on there, but he would be here. I'm quite sure if he could be here. So shout out to Martin C., and hoping he gets well and soon. Okay, I was just told that Martin is not on yet. So there's a possibility that he is better now. But time will tell. Anyway, we're going to go on with the show until Martin C. arrives and see how we go. So our first topic for tonight is going to be the killing of the reporter and the cameraman, camera person on live TV. And the second topic will be police officers on steroids. That can be a statement or a question, but is something to be considered, police officers on steroids. And our third topic will be pre-Civil War mindset of racist Americans and today's mindset. Yes, indeed, I wanted to go into that. So coming back to that first issue, as we know, those of us who do watch the news, we have seen earlier in the week on live TV this person appear on camera and take the lives of two individuals. It was a man and a woman. The woman was doing the reporting, and the man was filming what was being reported. And also, there was another person shot as well. The person who was being interviewed was also shot. However, that person was not mortally injured, killed, that is. But the woman doing the reporting and the individual doing the recording, they both were killed. And it's unfortunate when anybody is, taken out in that fashion. Well, matter of fact, concerning that, a poem comes to mind, thinking about this, as I do. And those of us who do know, we've heard of a man by the name of John Donne, an early, really early 17th century poet. He wrote these words way back then. He said, "No man is an island entire of itself, but instead is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." So in a real sense, John Donne was stating in that poem that all of us are connected to each other in this realm of existence in which we find ourselves in. No man is an island, no woman therefore also is an island entire to him or herself, but instead is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man or woman's death diminishes me because I am involved in humankind. Therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Indeed. So, coming back into this article, you know, well, I want to come from it or come at it from this perspective. I mean, listening to the reports about the happening, much is said about the actual reporter and also the photographer. I have their names here, but they're in the article, but I don't have them right here in front of me. But the shooter's name, his name happens to be the first name up here in the article. His name was Vester Lee Flanagan, who went by the name of Bryce Williams when he was doing his reporting. And I should come to the names of the two who were killed, but they're not there as I see them right now. But anyway, concerning what had happened, as I was saying, most of the news reports were on the woman and the man who were killed, and they weren't really mentioning the guy who had done the killing. And from what I've seen or heard from the news, they were talking about the situation from the perspective as if the individual who did the killing was just a deranged individual who, I guess one might say, one might say he just went off on a rampage, which in a sense he did. He did just go off on a rampage. But as I was saying, going back to what I first said, they were, in a real sense, acting as if or reporting as if this thing was really just like a random happening, that it just came up out of the blue. And there was no rhyme nor reason to what happened. And because they were coming at it from that perspective, I think in a real sense, a certain aspect or portion of the situation was seriously lost or neglected in terms of being mentioned. And that naturally is the racial aspect of this situation and or the racism that was inherent in this situation and no doubt caused this situation. I know some might say, what the hell is he talking about? Okay, what I'm talking about is this. It was reported that the shooter, this Bryce Williams guy, it was reported that he had made numerous complaints to the, let's say the, what do they call it there? I think the equal opportunity apparatus. He had made numerous complaints to them about situations that he was going through at the workplace. And to that, I will say that, well, I can't say anybody who is black should be able to relate to what he said there. Because as we know, well, as I do know, racism in the workplace does in fact exist. And it's an awful situation to find oneself in when they do find racism at the workplace and then that racism being directed at themselves. Because we have to consider, I mean, everybody works for a living, or more so, those of us who do work, we work to live. In most cases, not because we want to, but because we have to. If we want to survive, or let us say live, and even live comfortably in this society, comfortably depending upon what type of job we have, and then to the monies that we are incurring from the job that we have. Now, having said that, and then thinking about the shooter, this Bryce Williams person, and the two people whom he had killed, like I say, it's most unfortunate. I mean, in my opinion, they all were victims there in this situation and victimized in this situation because of racism. He had even said that, well, according to what was said about what he had even written that I forget her name right now, but her name is in one of these articles. He had said that the woman who unfortunately was killed in his attack, that he had some kind of a racial situation with her. And also the male that was involved in this shooting, the camera person, it was said that he also had some racial encounters with him as well. So having said that, and me myself having been put through the ringer in those racial or racist situations in the workplace, I can kind of understand more so than not. Well, I can't really say, I guess I can say where he was coming from. I can understand his frustration. And that's why it is that I can, well, more so that's why it is that I'm speaking on this issue from the perspective in which I am. I'm not even saying that he was right in doing what he was doing, because there's always a better way. He's gone, and two other individuals are also gone, and also unnecessarily. Most unfortunate. I will also say that until individuals, I guess I'll say in this country because this is where we are, until individuals in this country learn to either check their racism. But can they really learn to check their racism? Because I'm thinking that if they're racist, more so than not, they would not consider themselves being racist. But I'm going to hold that thought and come back to it later, because we're going to go to our first music break, which is from Myla J featuring B.O.B., entitled Champion. Myla J featuring B.O.B., Champion.
The best. Okay. The next, you my ex. I swear you try me on purpose. I swear we need a ref.
Okay.
But baby, I am a champion. Lay back out, ease all the stress. I hit it from the right, hit it from the left. Lick it from the right, lick it from the left.
All my cells are this nigga acting cool. Bedroom like a boxing ring at each other's necks. So no, they
shit.
Trying to get you to stay. Kissing all up on my face. Keep trying to call me babe. It's war with the roses. I hate you, I love you, I fight you, then fuck you. Sometimes I can feel like you really my nigga, but then I'm like, fuck you. The way that we kissing, the way that you fight it, remind me of Tyson. I'm heated, but I need it. We up in here like, we up in here like, champion.
Rocky.
Hey! Pound Frazier Ali. Need to pay-per-view what I'm about to do. Boy, so gone, free me your name. I'm so glad that you came. Get it? Glad that you came. Get it? Glad that you came. Get it? It's war with the roses. I hate you, I love you, I fight you, then fuck you. Sometimes I can feel like you really my nigga, but then I'm like, fuck you. The way that we kissing, the way that you fight it, remind me of Tyson. Yeah, I'm heated, but I need it.
We up in here like, we up in here like,
Rocky.
Hey!
Look, young Bob like Rocky Balboa. I knocked it out for the first round over. I'm a smoker, I'm a stoner, I'm a stroker. I got a belt, I got the title, I'm a holder. Got what you want, got what you need. I got the size, I got the speed. She hit the bell, I hit the ring. She throw it back, I bob and weave. I bob and weave. Now she rocking on top of me. Baby, please don't stop for me. No tapping out, no time for sleep. You know what I mean, you know what I bring. I'm a Scorpio, yo, you know what I swing. When I hit it from the right, hit it from the left. Scream it in my ear, she don't leave me there.
So LA with it, I'm just so LA with it.
Yeah.
Wake you up so I can put it in your face.
Damn.
Get it up, baby, I just wanna play with it.
Bring it.
Let me play
back.
With
bring
it.
Bring it.
We up in here like, we up in here like.
Rocky.
Hey!
By the Ray, Mila J. I'm so Atlanta, she's so LA. She's so LA. She's so LA.
Hey.
By the Ray, Mila J. I'm so Atlanta, she's so LA. I ain't trying to be cocky, man, but I beat it up like Rocky, man.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Okay, we just heard a song from Myla J and Myla J featuring B.O.B. with their song entitled Champion. That was Myla J featuring B.O.B., their song Champion. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do want to talk to the host, you must press 1, but wait for the automated voice to prompt you to do so. So, going back into the conversation that I am currently talking about, I can say we too, because for those of you who are listening. So, as I was last saying, I was talking about how racism is basically involved with this thing, However, listening to our media, we don't hear anything about racism. We hear about the disgruntled employee and things of that nature, and basically acting as if, as I said earlier, that that this thing just happened out of the blue, like a freak thing of nature. But no, based upon what I know, even throughout my own work history, that's not even what it was. There was, in fact, a catalyst to this situation, you know, a starting point. Who knows wherein it actually started, but there was a starting point. And no doubt things just built up and built up. I mean, I know there are some people who have said that this guy was definitely, without doubt, totally off. But then again, well, I would have to say yes and no to that concerning him being completely off. But then again, too, we have to, as I said earlier, consider all three of these individuals, well, all four for this matter, because the person who was shot, but her wounds weren't mortal. All four of these people were victims and victimized because of the ideology, the concept, the nonsensical thought patterns of racism. That's what had, in fact, or did, in fact, bring all this about. I mean, superficially, we can say no to that, but that don't mean we saying no is correct. Because, as I said earlier, there was a starting point to all this. I mean, it even spoke about his work history, wherein he had other jobs, also at television stations, and being owing to the fact that it was reported that he had other jobs at other stations, that in itself ought to be acknowledged that, number one, he was a functional individual, and then again, two, it would also indicate that he knew what he was doing concerning his job. Because how is a person going to get, well, be hired at two and three and four places performing the same function if he or she don't know what they're doing? It doesn't work like that. But however, even in these other places, as is being said now, this guy, Bryce Williams, a.k.a. Flanagan, his first name now I forget, because Vester Flanagan, is obvious based upon, well, not obvious, but based upon the reporting that we have heard, he had, they say, difficulty. Well, it's reported that he had difficulty in his other workplaces as well. But more so than not, the real situation, the true situation, is that no doubt this individual had experienced racial animosity due to racism in other places that he worked as well. They speak about him being disgruntled, but the question is, why would he be disgruntled? That's also a factor there to be considered. And also, just saying, while we were on the break, I feel that it's only, well, fair that I do, in fact, say the name of the woman who was killed. Her name was Allison Parker. Well, let her rest in peace. And the man's name, the photographer, camera person, his name was Adam Ward. Let him also rest in peace. As I said, because they were all victims in this situation. Well, willingly or unwillingly, they were all victims in this situation. I mean, because going back to the thought that I last left off on before the music break, I mean, we in this country have got to come to terms with this thing called racism. We can't just sweep it under the rug, because it's something real, and it is something that crops up in our every waking moment in a real sense. And then again, especially at the workplace, that is. And I mean, you know, the situation can go from, you know, from a minor situation to major situation. However, it's a situation wherein what's happening is only perceived as a wrong by one party to this situation, and that more so is the victim of the situation. I can say that, you know, from my own personal experience, and just a minor situation here concerning the racism that's a part of these kind of situations. Okay, like for instance, I experience this daily and have been experiencing this since I've been in the what I call the workaday world. Going into the workplace and just saying, you know, hello, you know, like announcing that, you know, I'm here, and just saying hello. And more so than not, if the individuals whom are in the area are Caucasian, more so than not, they're not going to say nothing to you. I mean, if you're black, they're going to act as if you said nothing, as if they hadn't even heard you. You know, but then again, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but as I just said, coming to the workplace and just saying, well, you know, hello, good morning, and silence, nothing else. And you wonder, damn, you know, didn't they? Well, you got to know that they're heard because they don't have earphones on. Well, you know, most workplaces you can't wear earphones, and then again, you may not be working in an area wherein there's a lot of loud noises, so it can't be that they didn't hear you. It's just I never have understood that, and I still don't understand that. But one thing about that minor situation, I never will forget. Okay, for the longest, I would mention that to others whom I would speak with. And for a long time, I was told that perhaps it is, or it must be, that I expect too much from people. I mean, even the greeting of the day, the daily greeting, or just, you know, greeting. If I say hello, it's only natural that one would expect someone to say hello back. Good morning. Good morning. I had always thought that that's the way it was supposed to be. But I came to realize that, no, it's not like that with certain people, unfortunately. So, as I was saying, many people whom I hung around with, and I don't know if I really respected their opinions or not, but I had to wonder about their opinions. I heard them because I got ears, therefore I must hear. I heard what they said. They told me, well, like perhaps you're expecting too much of people, you know. And that was said to me so much that actually I began to consider that as possibly being a possibility. And then eventually, I guess I kind of accepted that. Well, perhaps yes, indeed. I actually said to myself, well, perhaps I am expecting too much of people, even though it's only in speaking. Well, maybe everybody don't speak. I don't know. But for a long time, I had accepted that reasoning, that rationale, if you will. And it wasn't until, I'll say at least a decade later, 10 years later, wherein I was working in this one place, and as usual, I'd come in and I'd just say, well, hello, and again, silence. But anyway, as I proceeded on through the store, the area wherein I was working, I got to another area wherein a black woman was sitting at a desk. And I said to her, because I'm just coming into work, so I said, well, hello, Jackie. Her name happened to have been Jackie. I said, well, hello, Jackie. And she spoke to him. She said, hello, James. I was kind of shocked. And because I was so shocked, I had said to her, you know, Jackie, you're the only person that speaks to me when I come in. And she said to me, and it was a revelation, she said to me, it's just common courtesy, James. Now think back to what I said before about how for the longest I had been told, and I had came to accept what I had been told, that perhaps I'm expecting too much of people just to say hello. But then that woman that day, 10 years after having been constantly told that perhaps I'm expecting too much of people and just saying hello, that woman said hello back to me, and I said to her, you're the only person who speaks to me. You're the only person who says hello to me when I say hello. And she told me, James, it's just common courtesy. That really, well, as some people say, that really bowled me over. Is that how they well, it took me for a loop. And I had to just say, you know what? You're right. It is just common courtesy, common decency. For when you say hello to someone, that they say hello back. And then after that, I began to say, you know, in those kind of situations wherein I would come in the workplace and say hello and no one would say hello back, after that, I just stopped saying hello to them completely. I mean, it kind of did something to me within, because I'm just a human being. And my thinking isn't like that kind of thinking. As I said, if you say hello to someone, they should say hello back. That's my thinking. But anyway, as I was saying there about the revelation there, when I was told it's just common courtesy for one to say hello back to you, as I said, it was quite a revelation. I kind of lost my train of thought there as to where I was going with that. But to leave that, and still to say, even today, I find myself experiencing that. But because I now know what I know, and I now know that if I say hello to someone and they don't say hello back, I know that there's nothing wrong with me. I now know that I'm not expecting too much. I just know that there's something wrong with that person, wherein they can't say hello. Yes, this is what I was going to say earlier concerning, you know, the thing about saying hello. To say hello, when someone says hello to you, and for you to say hello back, it doesn't take anything but breath. That's all it takes. Nothing else. Nothing but breath. And then some people, based upon that situation, some people feel themselves so whatever that they don't even want to expend the breath to acknowledge you, to say hello back to you. Something is not right with that picture. Something is wrong with that picture. And in more cases than not, that does in fact involve, well, how can I put it? That situation does in fact also revolve within that racial realm, that realm of one feeling themselves, I guess, superior. I don't have whatever. But anyway, what I was also going to say about that particular, you know, the saying, you know, a minor situation, the minor situation there of the racial aspect in the workplace. Okay, what I want to also say is that you know, as I said, you say hello, silence, and then you just go on to where you are going to, well, more so you go on to your work area. And then that same person might come back to you and say, oh, by the way, can you bring me this? I mean, you know, they can't say hello to you, but yet they can want you to do something for them quickly, instantly. Outrageous. But again, that's the way it is. And like even in those kind of situations, like I say, it's minor. But then, like I say, it's minor. And when that does happen, I mean, what else can you do but just, you know, tuck it in, suck it in, so to speak. You know, and just say, oh, well, and just continue throughout your day. That's about it. Even though it's an everyday thing. You know, but then again, like I said, me, in those situations, those kind of people, I stop speaking to them. And I find that still is every day when I go to work in a certain area. But that's just the way it is, and it's just not correct, and it's hurtful. It does in fact hurt to have to experience something like that. But then again, a good question might be, but okay, before I go into that, we're going to go into our second break, and this is from a song by Kanye West entitled All Day. So this is Kanye West entitled All Day, and we'll be right back.
All day, nigga. Yeah. Hey. Hey. All day, nigga. How long you niggas ball? All day, nigga. How much time you spent at the mall? All day, nigga. How many runners do you got on call? All day, nigga. Swiss. How long they keep you in call? All day, nigga. Take you to get this fly? All day, nigga. Tell your P.O. how long you been high? All day, nigga. Already know I'm nigga. Top, 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 top. All day, nigga. This shade, nigga. Chopping for the winner and the checks made, nigga. Ball so hard, man, the shit crazy, nigga. He ain't getting money that you got eight figures. But at Jesus Peace, man, I been say, nigga. Just talk to FedCon at Sensei, nigga. Told him I been on 10 since the 10th grade, nigga. Got a middle finger longer than the 10, baby, nigga. I don't let them play with me. I don't let them talk to me no kind of way. They better watch what they say to me. Niggas still getting popped on the day to day. Yeah, I still got the 100 with a small face, nigga. Might spend 50 racks in my off day, nigga. You a fake Denzel like the all say, nigga. If you're running to me, better have off say with you. You a Rico Suave, nigga. Ride around, listen to Sade, nigga. If you ain't with us, you an our way, nigga. You a actor, you should be on Broadway, nigga. Did you do shit to Broadway, nigga? Your bitch got an ab on my Broadway sticker. Late for the class in the hallway, nigga. You the dropout at it as always, nigga. As always. All day, nigga. All day, nigga. How long you ball? All day, nigga. How much time you spent at the mall? All day, nigga. How long it take you to get the fly? Fly? All day, nigga. Take your P.O. How long you been high? High? All day, nigga. Post some here and for my niggas that died. All day, nigga. And I keep a bad bitch on the patch of the side. All day, nigga. Now already know I'm safe for the shower. All day, nigga. Chop. All day, nigga. I can do this all day, boy. Woo! I'm finna turn this bitch out. Any day, yay, in the streets, boy. It been a motherfucking draft. Don't really matter what I made, boy. Woo! You know I still go wild, wild. Like a light-skinned slave, boy. Woo! We in the motherfucking house. Right now, looking real stuff right now. I swear I've been on the flight. Like, I'm off right now. Stupid niggas getting money for a stump right now. Shout out to Jackie Chan, I need to stunt right now. They be looking at the gram, I be looking at the Grammys like, huh, that sucks right now. Right now, 24-7, 365 days, day by getting paid. Niggas looking at me like I'm worth both them J's. People saying, yeah, yeah, take it easy. 20 G's for the Yeezys off of eBay. Niggas do the most and they ain't done shit. Only way I can sum it up, some bitch. All day, nigga.
I took a young sweet breath and I reached into my shirt. Gave him what I had left. At that moment, I dispersed. At that moment, I dispersed.
Peel up, peel up, peel up.
Here on India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Kanye West entitled All Day. That was Kanye West entitled All Day. And you can reach us here, call us here at area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And do press 1 if you want to talk. If you don't press 1, you'll just be in what we call listening mode. But it's good to listen to. I mean, but that's why also just saying I'm going to have to eventually learn how to install the chat room for Urban Society, because some people, I guess they have a thing about calling in and knowing that everyone else is listening to them, but they may want to engage in the chat room, just write down some thoughts, and that's also good to do. So eventually, I guess I'm going to learn how to set up the chat room for Urban Society, being that other Dollhouse shows do have what they call the chat room, and conversations go on in there as well. Okay, so that having been said, I'm going to go back into the issue that we're on, the killing of this, of the reporter and the camera person, and also the killing of the shooter as well. Three tragedies, and I guess we can say thank goodness it wasn't four tragedies, because remember, there was a fourth person shot also, but her wounds weren't mortal. So, as I was last saying, I was speaking about, I was trying to ask the question, in this this minor situation of racism in the workplace, about speaking to others and not being spoken back to. And I was trying to ask the question, I'm trying to think of a good way to frame the question, and that question is, those people who are like that, doubtlessly they harbor some kind of a racial animosity or some feelings of, well, racial superiority, racial exclusion, something like that. I don't know what the hell it is, but anyway, the question that comes to my mind, always did, well, maybe just right now, the question is, as I said, for myself, when I find myself in that situation and getting that kind of negative feedback or in that negative encounter, it don't make me feel good. You know, I have to mentally, you know, step back and try to analyze just what this is, and now what do I do in response to this? And, you know, and it's not good. But anyway, the question that I want to pose, or the question that comes to my mind is, but how does that person feel when they do that to another person? Because, as I said, it's obvious that they hear someone speaking to them. They have heard that someone has spoken to them, and they don't want to even just expend the breath. So, you know, it's just a wonder, but not really a wonder, but just being conversational. I just think to myself, well, how does it make them feel? Does it make them feel good that they do this to somebody? Does it make them feel okay that they have the opportunity to do this to somebody? You know, do they even consider how that person might feel by them reacting the way that they do or did? I mean, I can't help but, you know, think about that. You know, because again, in this situation, it's like a two-way street. It's action and interaction. A thing like that, you know, two people are involved here. And, you know, well, who is it, I guess we can even say, you know, who is it that's taking the high ground? And then who is it that's really on the low ground? I guess, yes, let's go into that. Is the person who speaks, are they on the high ground to have spoken? And then the person who chooses speak back, are they on a low ground or are they on a high ground also? Or even is the person, all right, think of it like this also. Now, for the person who knows that speaking to someone and they don't speak back, but yet that person continues to speak to that person, now, is that person still on the high ground, or is he or she now on a low ground? And then also the person who sees or hears that this person is speaking to them every day, every morning, and they know I'm not saying nothing to them. Are they on a high ground? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, we can think into stuff like that, but then again, I mean, what is it? I mean, that's like thinking into the absurd. That's what I was doing just right then. I was thinking into the absurd. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to that. Because for one thing, it's just rude. It's just rude. And rudeness, in my opinion, rudeness begets rudeness. I mean, you can't be rude to me and then think I'm going to be, nice or unrude back to you. As the phrase is today, it don't work like that. No, it don't work like that. Well, not in my book. Even though I know, the Bible talks about, but then again, I'm not really biblically inclined or, for that matter, religiously inclined. I know the Bible speaks about, you know, how does it say it? Do good to them who abuse you, something like that. You know, how do they say it? If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek and give them that one to slap to. No. That's not my philosophy. I don't go along with that. So it's one of those situations. But also now still, like I said, the situation. I mean, for a long time, I was into that that thought mode about, you know, that minor situation in the workplace of others just not even taking the breath to say hello to you. And I guess because you're black. I mean, it even sounds nonsensical to even say that, just because you're black. But in a real sense, that's not the reason anyway. It's more so, you know, how that person perceives, you know, your blackness. So therefore, again, it's on that person who is being rude and just in a real sense, I guess, in disrespectful. Yes, that's a better word. I was going to say inhumane even, but no, that's on the other person, just being disrespectful to another person because of that that racial nonsense. But still, on another level and more sinister or major, you know, having to experience that. And then also at the workplace throughout the day, you find yourself being constantly critiqued by those same individuals who don't even take the breath to say hello to you. And, you know, you have to kind of figure, you know, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden you realize that in a real sense, now, you know, they've got others who not even are really on their side. But just consider yourself, you know, one or two or three of the only black individuals working in this area, you know. But for whatever reason, I guess perhaps, not even perhaps, but more so than not, because you might be the one to speak up on things, you know, to voice your opinion. And also to let those kind of people know that you don't like what's happening. And then now when that happens, you're considered what? A troublemaker. And then, you know, and in that kind of situation, you know, you're not wanted in that place. Because in a real sense, they will then feel that you're causing trouble. And I'm saying this, you know, going back to that the actual shooter in this situation. You know, that victim of this situation, you know, he finds himself or herself, you know, not liking what's being done because they see what's being done. And they speak up about it. And as I said, once they speak up, then they're labeled the troublemaker, disruptive. Even they're even asked what's wrong with you? They might even say, just assuming now the other two black people who work there, one name might be Tommy. The other person's name might be Susan. They might say, well, I say the same thing to Tommy and Susan, and they don't get upset. You know, why do you have a problem with it? And then, you know, you can stand there because I guess you're new to the situation, to this kind of environment, and you stand there and explain to this person why it does bother you. But it's like in a real sense, you're talking to the wall because all they know is that, as I said, Tommy and Susan don't get upset about this. And then it's to them, it's like you just have a chip on your shoulder. They might even say that that you don't like white people. They might even call you a racist. Because after all, Tommy and Susan, they don't get upset over this. But also at the same time, they don't even consider that you yourself are an individual. You're not Tommy. You're not Susan. And conversely, Tommy and Susan aren't you. Just outrageous. And then you see, at that point, things get worse from there. And more so than not, in this situation, with that killing that took place earlier in the week, that's more so than not what did in fact happen. And I guess that shooter, that Flanagan guy, I guess he unfortunately just had enough. But as I said earlier, in my opinion, it's really unfortunate that our news services weren't talking about it from any other angle than portraying that reporter and that camera person as victims. That Allison Parker and Adam Ward, when they spoke on this situation, I mean the other newscasters, when they spoke on this situation, they really played up the fact that these two were just victims of a deranged individual. But at the same time, you know, all these people had prior dealings with each other. And as a matter of fact, I had even read one report. I don't know how true it is because, you know, when things sometimes are just written in the paper. But I'll just say what I had read. I had read that from this news station that this guy was fired from, the day he was fired, it was said that he had to be escorted off the premises. And him being escorted off the premises, it was said that camera person, Adam Ward, filmed it. You know, he had his camera to record it. And you got to know that this guy Flanagan, he's seen it, unless Adam Ward was ducking down behind a desk somewhere or hiding behind a corner somewhere filming it. If not that, I mean, Flanagan must have seen that. And then, too, having gone what he had gone through already at the workplace, and then now he's being escorted by the police off the premises. And now some guy is going to have the, the lack of concern, or even just think it's funny to start recording it. That wasn't necessary. But yet, I guess for Adam Ward, he felt it was necessary. But then again, that's even if that's true. But again, that's what I had read also in reports about this situation. You know. So again, all I'm saying, well, basically what I had said there is that there are victims all around in this situation, and the victims just aren't Allison Parker and Adam Ward, or that other woman whom had been being interviewed. That guy Flanagan is also a victim in this situation because of the rampant racism that's in this country and also in the workplace. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, our news media didn't want to pick up on that. Not at all. I even heard one newscaster ask the question, couldn't this also be considered a hate crime? You know, well, just he asked that question, and I'm thinking, wow, really? Really a hate crime? But I don't want to go into the nuances of what a hate crime is or what a hate crime isn't. But one thing that we know for sure concerning what that guy, guy in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, now that could be considered a hate crime. I mean, because he didn't know any of those people. Unlike Flanagan knew those people. Charleston, South Carolina person, that white guy, he didn't know any of those people. All he knew about them was they were black. In his mind, that's all he knew about them, and that's all he needed to have known about them. Based upon his mindset and the ideology, the way his brain worked, that's all he needed to know. So the situations are very much unsimilar. Unsimilar, primarily because this guy Flanagan, he knew those people whom he went after. And I will say that it's unfortunate that what did happen did happen. But again, I mean, with this racism stuff, there's no telling what might happen. And it can happen at any moment. Any moment. So okay, but like before I go on into, let me see if I have talked over. Okay. Yes, I have talked over. We're gonna have a break right now. This break is from a song. We're going to have a song now from Maya. It's entitled Superwoman. So this is Maya entitled Superwoman.
I've never been the type to give up. I pull myself back up. Learn to save the day with the world on my shoulders. No matter what, I'ma always find a way. If I gotta kick down doors, I'ma break them down to the floor like no other. No matter what they see, there's more than meets the eye, so much more. And no matter what they think, I'ma always hold it down, bring it. Much more than what you think you say. I'm a super, super woman. I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm more than just a banging blonde. Much more than what you think of me. I'm a super, super woman. I'm gonna go hard in the pain. I throw the X on my chest. Never walk away from the rain till it's over. Hit them with a left hook and a right one. Till I'm the last one left. Never ever judge a book by its cover. No matter what they see, there's more than meets the eye, so much more. And no matter what they see, I'ma always hold it down, bring it home. You ain't gotta worry about that. Much more than what you think you say. I'm a super, super woman. I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm more than just a banging body. Much more than what you think of me. I'm a super, super woman.
I be on it. Kill it in a skirt, but I do it like I own it. Grinding every day like a hustler on the corner. But I ain't pushing weight, no, I'm moving something colder. Like the girl in the diner, single mom on her own with nobody else behind her. College girl, finding time for assignments. See them all in me, I do it for the D. And I'm just beginning, never gonna stop till I cross that finish. All they wanna see is the thickness. But soon they gon' all be a witness. R&B princess, CEO. Step on your head. It's what I'm made with. Destined for greatness.
Heart of a soldier, mind of a first lady.
I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm more than just a banging body. I'm more than what you think you say. I'm a super, super woman. I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm more than just a banging body. I'm more than what you think of me. I'm a super, super woman.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Maya entitled Superwoman. That's Maya entitled Superwoman. And our call-in number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we're still on the issue of that reporter and camera person, and also that the shooter having lost their lives last week due to, in my opinion, because of racism, which is not being talked about at all as a factor in this situation. But anyway, before I go on into to the next issue, I also want to say that I recall when I was working at a certain place, and I was considered, well, matter of fact, the reason I was fired from this place, and then again, let me also say before I go into this story, okay, that job I had, I mean, like I said, we work in order to make money, okay? Now, that job I had, that job afforded me the ability to pay my rent. That job afforded me the ability to buy food, to feed myself. That job afforded me the ability to just live my life as any human being does or should do and wants to do. That's what that job did for me. But yet I was fired from that job as well as many other jobs. But in this particular job, the reason I was fired, so it was stated to me, was because I was a threat to industrial peace. That's what I was told when I was fired from that job. And why, okay, was I a threat to what they considered industrial peace? Primarily because I wasn't having that nonsense that they were trying to throw on me just because I was black. And more so, as I like to also back up from having said that, more so because of what's in their heads in reference to me being black. I had all kind of difficulty, but yet and still, I had to, you know, push back on their nonsense. And on an occasion in this particular job, I even had one of the women who worked there who came to me, I guess you can say on the down low, one day, and she told me that that she likes the way I stand up for myself. You know, in a real sense, I shouldn't have to be standing up for myself, because people should just leave me alone, and not just me, but people should leave people alone. Period. I guess if that guy Flanagan had been left alone, what had happened or what did happen would have never happened. But he was pushed to that extreme, just as I was being pushed to some kind of extreme in that situation. But again, imagine that. I was told, and therefore no reason other than that I wasn't having the nonsense that was being pushed my way. And I was fired because it was said I was a threat to industrial peace. But anyway, that same, I'm going to say, clown who told me that, sitting behind his desk, who told me that I was fired from my job, he also said to me then that he can get the MPs, because it was on a military reservation type thing. He had said that he can get the MPs to have them escort me off the compound. And I just said to him, well, you know, the MPs didn't bring me on the compound. The MPs don't have to take me off the compound. But he reiterated, and he said, well, no. I can have them come and escort you off the compound. And I said the same thing back to him again. And then finally I just said to him, well, you know, are we done? Is that it? Do you have anything else to tell me? And he said no, and I just turned and walked away and walked off the compound, but fired from my job. Out in outrageous. But I just went on, you know, I just got another job, but other things happened at those other jobs, but that's another issue. But I want to go on into this next topic. But again, it's just unfortunate that these people have lost their lives because of monstrous racism that's rampant in this country. And we're going to have to do something about it. But even now, going into the next issue that I want to bring up, the issue is entitled, you know, are cops on steroids? But the actual title is Cop Roid Rage. Are steroids behind the worst police abuses? You know, in a real sense, you know, even before I had even heard someone else mention this, I had kind of got that impression from certain police people whom I have encountered based upon their attitude and or the rage that I saw coming out of them and over something so minor, so trivial. I'm thinking, damn, I mean, why all that? Why all the attitude? I recall, it's a long story. I won't even go there because I got so many situations and or instances that I could bring up. But anyway, into this article here. The article is entitled, as I said, Cop Roid, not road, but roid, as in steroids, cops roid rage, or steroids behind the worst police abuses. And here's something that I hadn't known. It says here, in the beginning, it says, as random testing falls out of favor, some wonder if steroids are causing cop craziness. But did we know that police people are on a regular using steroids? I mean, I didn't know that for a fact. I kind of figured that, you know, some of them must be on something to act like they're act. And it goes further to show us or impress upon us that in 2004, the growing menace of steroid abuse. Hear what I said? In 2004. We're now in 2016. In 2004, the growing menace of steroid abuse by American police officers prompted the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration to warn of the possible psychological disturbances of juiced-up cops. Who knew that? I didn't know that. As quiet as it was kept, I mean, it wasn't really, maybe I wasn't watching news at that point in time, but they're talking as far back as 2004, and it's still going on now. And it says that the DEA says symptoms included mood swings, including maniac-like symptoms leading to violence, impaired judgment stemming from feelings of invincibility, depression, nervousness, extreme irritability, delusions, hostility, and aggression. And I see a lot of that with police personnel, especially the hostility and the aggression that they walk around with and when they encounter an average unarmed citizen in the street. The overly aggressive attitude and hostility that comes from them. Excuse me. But the article says further that, excuse me again, the influential International Association of Chiefs of Police, with 16,000 members around the globe, approved a resolution that calls upon state and local law enforcement entities to establish a model policy prohibiting the use of illegally obtained steroids by officers. So right there, they're saying something more, I guess, than what they think they're not saying. I guess for some police personnel, they are giving steroids legally. But I guess those who can't have steroids legally, they obtain them by illegal methods. And then again, I mean, because the drug isn't really, legal, there's no telling what that cop is actually taking as it being steroids, no telling. Anyway, the article goes further to say, today there is still no standardized policy for steroid testing of cops. Outrageous. And evidence suggests there is less random testing now than a decade ago. And remember, this article was starting out as in 2004. And it's 2016 now, and they're saying that now there's even less random testing than a decade ago. And the article goes further to say, under an ever-changing hodgepodge of local directives hammered out through collective bargaining, that is, you know, per the police unions, because the police unions, as we know and as we have seen in the aftermath of these police shootings of unarmed people, the unions have that police person's back to the hilt. They'll even, you know, they start to throw out all of the negative things if they have anything negative on that individual about how he's been arrested 25 times before, been in jail 22 times, and, you know, he's a repeat offender, and, you know, stuff like that. And it goes further to say that many who followed the issue closely were surprised last month when the 4,000 member Phoenix Police Department. They're talking about Phoenix, Arizona, the place where John McCain is senator. Many who follow the issue closely were surprised last month when the 4,000 member Phoenix Police Department, which became the standard bearer for aggressive testing after a local steroid scandal involving cops and firefighters too, in 2007. They publicly admitted it has stopped random testing of officers. Who knows why they stopped testing? I guess the article already stated it. The collective bargaining situation. Just outrageous. But again, who knew that? Did anybody know that that this is probably still going on today? I mean, police people on drugs, really. And at the same time, they're rushing through the street, supposedly, because of the war on drugs. And there they are, rushing through the streets in a war on drugs, and they themselves are on drugs. Ludicrous. It just don't make sense. It's just outrageous. Just totally outrageous. Just totally outrageous. And then the question they asked, so what changed between 2011 and 2014? It says here, like many police departments, Phoenix decided random testing was too expensive and ineffective, in part because police officers had grown adept at masking steroid use. Can you believe that? The police department there in Phoenix had decided, and I guess not just Phoenix, because this thing no doubt is nationwide. So no doubt the same thing that goes on there in Phoenix goes on here in New York as well, and throughout the rest of the country, because these are not police stations and police administrations are not isolated situations. No, they're not. Not at all. And then also to leave this article, and I want to go on into another one. But then again, I guess before I do, as I try to find it, I'll mention something that is on Facebook a lot lately, and they're talking about the movie Still, Straight Outta Compton. But however, it's like they have a new twist about talking about the movie Straight Outta Compton. They're not talking about the movie per se, but they're more so talking about that Dr. Dre and him having, you know, beat on some women. And they people who talk about this movie, I haven't seen it yet, but that's another issue. People who have seen the movie, and then when they talk about it, they often wonder how come that aspect of NWA isn't mentioned as well, about Dr. Dre, you know, beating up on women. But you know, that goes into, how can I put it, the spousal abuse situation. Well, they probably weren't married at the time, but still, they consider that in some form or another spousal abuse, or just being abusive toward women. And in these days, per the courts, that just doesn't go. As it said of the man, but I guess Dr. Dre put his hand on a few women. He never went to jail. I guess it must be a situation because they didn't report it. And then all of a sudden now, the situation of him having put his hand on women, I guess now they're starting to report it. But the question has to be, why now? I mean, it's somewhat similar to the Bill Cosby situation. I mean, all these women coming out saying that, you know, he did this, that, and when he did it. But why now? And in terms of Dr. Dre, again, right now, I mean, as soon as this movie comes out, all of a sudden, you know, all these women are going to come forward talking about how he abused them. But, you know, maybe it's not really even a thing about them coming forward and saying and talking about how he abused them. But more so, it could be a situation of people who have seen the movie and I guess talk to some people. And then they probably got these women to come forward and talk about, you know, that this should have been in the movie too. But who knows? But I guess maybe if they had a woman producer, perhaps something like that would have been in the movie. But then again, even going back into that issue, I mean, but this is neither here nor there, but a person being in a abusive relationship, that should be easily ended. I mean, because I can't ask who is going to stick around to be beat on. But then again, as we know, there are some people who do stick around to be continually beat upon. Outrageous, but and then again, I guess some guys too. Yeah, so some guys will be around some abusive woman. I mean, you know, and she just takes advantage of him, and he don't leave. But it's one of those things. It's one of those things. I mean, well, I won't even go there. But yeah, but that's I just found that interesting. But like I said, I haven't seen the movie Straight Outta Compton, and I probably won't see it because that's just not my cup of tea. I don't really watch stuff like that. It's not. I don't think it's really socially involved or socially or intellectually stimulating. I don't think so. No, I don't. But that's just my opinion. But then again, I guess when it might come on Netflix, I might watch it then. I might decide to look at it. That's if I do. But I don't know. To be seen. I always say in these cases, what is that phrase I use? Yes, TBS, to be seen. TBS, to be seen. And then now, just saying, I have this other article here. One of my Facebook friends had posted this about why don't police officers carry misconduct insurance. I thought that was interesting because basically in this article is talking about when police officers are sued, we the taxpayers have to foot that bill, not police officers themselves. But the article reads as if, but like the article is, well, the article reads as if police persons, if they had to foot the bill or pay out the settlements out of a fund that would be garnered per them paying into it, this police insurance, this article is saying that maybe these things would not be as prevalent as they currently are. Because a lot of times, a lot of things we don't do, if we would do them, is because we don't want to pay for it. We don't want to pay for these things. So, this article here, let me try to start out here. It says, when taxpayer dollars are used to pay out settlements to victims for their families of police misconduct, it says that shit really grinds my fucking gears. That's what it says. The article says that. And then the article goes further to say that the 10 cities with the largest police departments paid out $248.7 million last year in settlements and court judgments in police misconduct cases, up 48% from $168.3 million in 2010. According to data gathered by the Wall Street Journal through public records requests. The article goes further to say that those cities collectively paid out $1.2 billion over those 5 years in such cases, which included alleged beatings, shootings, and wrongful imprisonment. When claims related to car collisions, property damage, and other police incidents are included, the total rose to more than $1.4 billion. That's a lot of money. $1.4 billion. And as they like to say, that's billion with a B. That's some kind of joke, I guess. And this article goes on to say that those numbers are staggering, even more so when you realize that that's only for the 10 largest police departments, not the whole country. What's even more vexing is that police officers found guilty of misconduct don't pay a dime out of their paychecks. And you see, that's where they say that if police people themselves who do these things had to pay out of their pocket, they might be less inclined to do these things that they do and get away with. Interesting. But anyway, that's an issue there that some people have brought up. You know, should police people be should police persons have to be insured? You know, they insure themselves. You know, they have to pay into a police insurance fund in whatever particular police department or police locality that they happen to be in. Who knows, it could be a citywide thing or it could be a statewide thing. But yet money would be paid into a fund to ensure, I guess in a real sense, to ensure the public, number one, that these things won't happen as much as they do happen. And then again, number two, I guess, to deter police people from committing these acts, if they have to pay for them. It's just like, as the article also goes to say, it'll be on the same level as auto insurance. Imagine if we didn't have to pay auto insurance. In a real sense, I mean, even though we have traffic laws, imagine all the traffic laws that would be broken and just imagine that. Imagine all the traffic laws that would be broken if they didn't have the auto insurance situation in this country. We wouldn't care. I mean, I shouldn't say we, as in including myself in that general we, but there'd be many people who just wouldn't care. Run a red light in a minute, and you know, hit your car, just keep on going, and there you are stuck. But because of auto insurance, you know, nobody wants their insurance to go up. No, we don't. Not at all. But okay, we're coming up on a close of the show, but we still have a few minutes left. So therefore, I also wanted to go into another issue, which was the pre-Civil War mindset of racist Americans and today's mindset. Now, when I talk about the pre-Civil War mindset of racist Americans, naturally, I'm talking about the period of African-American enslavement in this country. And the thing that we should remember, or the thing that we should consider, is that basically the whole of the country was racist. We can actually say that because in a real sense, the only people who weren't, how can I put it, the only people who really were against slavery were the abolitionists. And, you know, you had quite a few who, abolitionists were white as well as black. But if I'm not mistaken, you had more abolitionists who were white than were black. That's more so true than not true. So as I said, I mean, the general mindset of that time was a racist mindset. So what can we say about that? And the thing is, it wasn't even called racism then. It wasn't really even called prejudice then. It was just the way it was then. The mindset was that black people were inferior to white people, and that was just it. That black people were meant to be slaves to white people, that was just it. They even said that even the Bible spoke so. They would take certain selections out of the Bible and say, you see, even God said so. So who are we to go against, you know, the dictates of God? He has ordained that black men and women are to be slaves. In a real sense, they weren't even saying, in a real sense, well, they were saying that blacks were therefore inferior to whites, but more so they were also saying that, like, blacks were supposed to be slaves. And then again, if you're thinking in that vein that we were just supposed to be slaves, I mean, the concept of inferiority wasn't even there really. Because when you're talking, I would imagine that when you're talking inferior and then superior, I guess you're talking about two of the same thing, one being better than the other. But when it came to black people who were slaves, we have to consider and realize that we weren't even considered people. We weren't even considered human. We were just slaves. And then, I mean, it came a point wherein, still pre-Civil War, but I guess it was the abolitionists who were talking in terms of, you know, inferior and superior. But the general mindset wasn't about inferior and superior. The general mindset was just primarily about slave and then free. If you're a slave, you're naturally inferior. And if you're not a slave, and you must therefore be white. That's the way it went. If you're not a slave in this country, you must therefore be white. So therefore, you must be superior. And just saying, it really strikes me. Can I say that it strikes me? I guess it does strike me that in a real sense, a lot of us don't really realize that a lot of what's going on today went on yesterday just as well. So in a real sense, you know, if we would just understand the history that was, we could better understand today that is. A case in point we could say would be with the let's just say the Confederate flag. I started to say after the Charleston situation, Charleston, South Carolina, when those black people killed in that church. But the Confederate flag situation, I mean, all of the debate, not so much about the Confederate flag itself, but the reasons for it. People claiming it heritage, and people claiming that it's not racist. But then again, who are these people who are making these claims? No doubt, they themselves are the racist. Just like yesterday, so today. Again, just like yesterday, so today. Many of us would come to realize that. I think we would have a better mental grasp on just what is, in fact, taking place around us and where we are today and what we are seeing today. But unfortunately, I mean, it's difficult for many of us to even understand what racism is or isn't. To some of us, racism is a thing of the past. Racism isn't as it was yesterday, but it's different today. But in real sense, it's the same thing. I won't even say that it's worse than yesterday, but basically it is in fact the same thing. And we have to come to grips with this, or if not that, we're going to be having a whole lot more of these situations that we just had over the past week. I mean, and it will be no doubt. Well, that's my time right now, but we can come back to this issue next Sunday. So until then, I want to say thank you all for listening, and this is Urban Society signing off, and you all have a good night.
Just watching, we caught
baby,
up.
Baby, oh.